remission of sin because we're so ignorant, we needed something like that. And so all he was a human that came and spoke the word, and then God put him on the cross, whipped him, sacrificed him, and shed the blood so that we could say our sins are forgiven. When the reality is that our sins have been forgiven since the day we were born. They were forgiven in the time of a realm that you don't even know that we were from, and we came here on this earth redeemed already. The only thing is we have to know, we have to believe, we have to see that, because we walk around with so much guilt and shame that we just beat ourselves up, and it's our ignorance is that what causes really our death. And I'm here to give knowledge, a spiritual knowledge, so that we can come out of death into life. Right now, we're all dead. Every one of us are dead, and we don't have God. Matter of fact, God don't even exist. There is no God. When we're dead, there is no God. When we want to be alive, then God becomes real, and he's created. And that is in a message in its own. I have a series right now going, and it's a big series, and it's going to continue on forever. I don't know how. But right now, it's to know God, who's God. Now I'm saying, why God? Why God? And I'm going to tell you why God. Last week, if you haven't gotten the message, understand why God. I'm going to build on that and why we need God. Why God? For one, we're getting beat up. Those that are called and those that the realm of heaven, the day you were born, knows if you're a threat or not. Do you know that? The day you come out of the mother's womb, darkness knows whether you're a threat or not. Do you know not everyone suffers? You might think so, but not everyone suffers. I really truly believe. Do you know that some are created to be evil? Yep. Some are created to be evil. Now, when I say some are created to be evil, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're just bad, rotten people out there that are trying to murder and kill and everything else. I'm talking about an evil that just does not know God. An evil that may be looking like the best person in the world that goes out there and gives presents to the poor and all that. But their heart is wicked. Their heart is so wicked. And they deceive the elect. Crazy thing is when we look at our lives and we're so beat up and so torn apart, and then we look at this one and there's nothing going on in their life, everything is perfect, and they have no hardship or whatever, and you say to themselves, geez, I need to role model them. They're there to deceive you. There are million billionaires that look like they're really good people and everything else, and they would say, well, I need to follow that person because their life is blessed. How do you know they're not one that was created evil to deceive you and to pull you away from the truth? The truth says God loves those who chasten you, or God chastens the ones that he loves. The truth says that he leads us into temptation, but not more temptation than we can handle. I'm paraphrasing a scripture verse. What is that scripture verse for today? Do we have that one? Where is that? Is it 1 Corinthians 10? 10 verse 13. If we can look that up real quick, somebody, and I'll have them read it. God leads a righteous person's footsteps. I'm going to tell you, God leads everyone in footsteps. So whether or not your heart is going to change to see if he keeps leading you down the bad road or leads you down a good road. And the enemy or the devil or darkness is there to really destroy you. When you have a call on your life, when the darkness sees the light, they start working right then and there. They start manifesting, and they're like, kill them, kill them, kill them, kill them. And through the time that you were born until the time now, you probably went through every phase, almost get hit by a bus, broken every bone in your body, you know, walking around with splints, accident prone over here, you know, the whole nine yards, you know, failure at school, whatever it might be, drugs, alcohol, oh, it was a pornography, I'm a doper, I'm a gambling holic, blah, 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 the whole nine yards. You're none of that. Darkness is making you like that. Darkness is trying to destroy your life, kill it, and take it away. What does this verse say?
It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Why God? That's why God. Because God is the only one that makes a way for you to escape the attacks of the enemy, the attacks of darkness, the attacks of the demonic, whatever, however you want to label it. Everybody's got their preconceived idea about the supernatural. How many of us here believe in ghosts? Okay? Spirits that walk the earth. Ooh. Maybe haunted homes and stuff like that. Great. The dead live. Okay? There are ghosts. There are unrest spirits. Yes. But they're not the ones that I'm talking about. They don't even bother you. They just walk around in the midst of us. Hey, do you see me? I'm over here. We don't see them, but they walk around in the midst of us. They don't bother you, so don't be afraid of ghosts. The living dead, they walk amongst us. Don't be afraid of them, okay? Even if they open and shut some cabinet doors, they're just saying, hey, I want to go back home. You know, I don't belong here. They're trapped in a realm that they just want to leave. They don't bother you. I love these haunted movies, you know, to get everybody worked up and afraid to, you know, that there's ghosts. Woo! Ghosts don't bother you, okay? And then there's movies that, you know, allows show the world, you know, the demonic realm, you know, the super devil, you know, the super evil ones, okay? That's really far-fetched. Now, there are some possessions that we probably won't see very often in this world. Maybe in some third world countries and stuff like that, there are possessions, and anyone ever see like The Exorcist or, you know, those real heavy demonic ones where they're picking the bodies up and throwing them up against the wall and stuff. And, you know, you get these priests coming in, splashing them with the holy water, and they're going, ah, you know, and they're getting all kinds of in your face. Okay. Those things you might see in some real third world demonic countries, you know, and Africa and Haiti and all that other stuff. And I know you guys are listening out there, so I understand the demonic influence that you deal with. Over here, the demonic is very sophisticated. They walk around sophisticated. They handle themselves very well. They come in all forms of colors and shapes and sizes, and you don't even recognize them, but they're walking in the midst of us. They are the ones that want to destroy you. And then, not only are they manifesting in physical bodies through individuals, which is a possession, but they also manifest in our minds. And the mind is the only doorway that they can come in until they start coming into your heart. And when they start entering into your heart, that's when the possessions start. That's when you can't stop doing what you don't want to do. Has anyone ever felt that way before? Why do I keep doing what I don't want to do? Why God? I think it was last week I was talking about, you know, there are some great people out there that may be alcoholics, that they find themselves getting loaded and drunk and abusive or whatever, and they go home and they beat their family up or beat themselves up or whatever, and they wake up the next morning and don't understand, why do I keep doing what I'm doing? Possession. Then there's other people out there shooting dope, maybe putting CCs, overdosing and all that, coming real close to an overdose or whatever. And they always wake up the next day and say, why do I keep doing that? I don't want to do it. And then they justify and make every excuse why they're doing it so that they can justify their actions and say, well, I do it because of this, or I do it because of that, or whatever. It's possession. It's gone so far that your thoughts went into your heart. And when it goes into your heart, it's a possession. I don't want to go there right now. I want to touch base on just the thoughts. We'll deal with the thoughts first, and then maybe next week I'll deal with the heart. But this week I want to deal with the thoughts. They are lies, and the lies don't stop. They constantly attack you day and night, day and night, day and night. They're tormenting spirits. They constantly torment you. They tell you about this. They lie about that. They lie, 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 lie. And they just keep lying and they don't stop lying. Why, God? Because God is the only one that has the power to shut their mouths up. God is the only one that has the power to stop the lies in the head. There's some scripture verses to back up what I'm trying to say, and that's why I say this book, the Holy Bible, is the only one that I was able to find that backs up what I received when I came out of heaven, and that's why I always refer back to this book. I'm not expecting everyone to grab one and try to read it and figure it out, but I am saying to take what I'm saying, read it to back up what I'm saying. It's very difficult to understand this book. You have to see it and read it in a spiritual eye. You have to see it in a spiritual way. So I'm hoping that our eyes would be opened up to be able to see and hear what I'm saying today. The first one that I want to, first verse that I want to refer to is Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. It says here, but you, when you pray, go into your room. Okay, it starts to talk about prayer. The verse that I want to talk about, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debts. Basically, he's saying you forgive yourself. God just, you know, is already forgiven you. So it's just a matter of us coming to a place of forgiveness. And I'll explain all that later. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus was trying to instruct us to say, listen, pray that he will deliver you from the evil one. God is the only one that can deliver us from these thoughts. That's it. You can't get rid of them. If your heart doesn't cry out for God, that's it. I'm sorry. Why God? I'm telling you why you need God. I never thought I needed God. My whole entire life was running from it. I thought it was a fairy tale. I couldn't believe it. How am I supposed to believe in something I can't see? How am I supposed to do? Listen, my life is like utter hell. And you want me to believe in God? There is no God. It's bull. It's nothing. It's not real. It's phony. Look at my situation. You tell me there's God? Ha! I tried. I cried out. He didn't hear me. I didn't cry out with the right way. My heart wasn't broken. I wasn't at a place of really, truly crying out. I thought I was broken. I wasn't broken. I was probably so full of pride and thought I would take on everything in the world. God wasn't listening to me. Why God? I'm going to tell you why God. Because the enemy, the devil, the darkness, the powers that you can't see an anointing in your life, and he wants to destroy it. Bottom line, you're a victim. It's like you're on the hit list. I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, you did. What you did is you were born in the kingdom of God before you were even here. You had a call on your life before you even came here. You just didn't know it. Just like Jesus. He had a call in his life before he even came here. The three wise men, you know, they're over there. You know, those three wise men were mystics. They were people that were in the stars and studying the stars and They were in those deep realms of the mystic, spiritual realm. Everybody thought they were just three nice little wise men who walked around like little kings. No, they were sorcerer mystics, you know. I wouldn't say sorcerers. They weren't bad. They were good. They were mystics, you know. They were spiritual mystics that looked into the stars. And when they looked into the stars, they were like, whoa! There is something here that's been born, a light that has been born. There's a light that has been born. Ah! We better bring presents to this light. And then they started bringing presents to this light because they knew that this light, all darkness is going to start screaming. This light is the savior of what's going on in this time, this age, this moment. 2,000 years ago, this light was a threat to the darkness. And that's why the three wise men came with gifts, because they wanted to honor the light. They weren't honoring the man, they were honoring the light. Because they knew that it was going to be effective and save that world, that generation. With that being said, he said, pray that he deliver us from the evil one. There's another one here in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. It says here, Jesus, and I love to refer to this guy because he's a man natural that was light, born, and took on the devil. Took him on. And that's what made him a master. That's what made him a savior. That's what made him who he is. And I'll never deny who he is, because when I went into that realm, there was a reverence there, an honor, a glory, that when he came out, it was like the whole atmosphere changed. And there was a great honor in his presence. And I was there in his presence. But he said to me, I was a man just like you. You're a brother. And you too will be tempted by the devil. You too will go through the things. But greater works you'll do because I went to the Father. Greater works because I made the path. I treaded it out. I broke it through. I showed you. This is what's happening. And I want you to go back and tell them about my Father who can deliver us. Only God is the one who can deliver us. I was a lamb. I was just a vessel. I was a piece of meat that he slaughtered for the shedding of the blood, a representation of what happened since the foundations of the world. There was a war that went on in the foundations of the world. Before the world was created in heaven, there was a war and there was a lot of bloodshed. That bloodshed was for all of us that was brought in back onto the earth. A second chance through the fall. This is some good stuff. You want to know where you came from? You want to know before you even was born? Hear me out. I want to tell you where you were and why you're here on earth. And the reason why is now because everyone needs to hear about God. You're all called. You're all here to tell the next guy who God is. All of you, not just me. I'm not going to be one of those guys and say, no, I'm the only one. I'm the highest priest of them all. You have to come to me and say you're sorry so that I can go to God and tell them, this guy came to me and he's really sorry for his sins, so you need to forgive him. No, I'm not that one. I am the least of you all, the chief sinners of you all. Ha, ha, ha. You're more called than I am. I'm just stupid enough to step into it. Listen to me. God has called you to tell everyone about who he is. Everyone, even you. So when I'm saying these things, Jesus, I'm going to share this scripture where it says, then Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, yes, returned from Jordan. Okay. This is after Jesus got baptized. So those that got baptized, listen to what I'm saying. Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he was baptized, returned from Jordan, where he was baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Get ready, those who got baptized. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those 40, he ate nothing, and afterwards, he was hungry. And then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. There's deep meanings in this whole temptation. But I'm not going to go into there. What I want to emphasize in is Jesus was tempted by the devil. Constant tempting. And that's what's going on with you guys. Everybody is being tempted. Constantly. Thoughts going in your head. How many of us here today have these thoughts? I mean, I have them all the time. And I'm over here ripping them out, saying, no, you're a liar. Oh, you'll never do it. Look at you. You have no education. You can't do that. What are you doing over here? Look at how many people. Over and over and over, trying to rip my heart out. And I'm like, you're such a liar. Who came up with this stuff? It's not real. You're saying this stuff and it's not real. I'm going to prove to you it's not real. Watch. You see? They're lies. We create scenarios and imaginations. I'm really good at it. Oh, it'll never work. Oh, it'll never happen. Oh, I'll never win. Oh, I'll never this. Oh, I'll never that. Oh, never, 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 never. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? It's okay to wonder, but don't let your heart be ripped out. This is the job of the evil one. He wants to go inside and take your heart and rip it out. And he wants to throw it on the ground and stamp on it so that you have no hope. That's the job. That's his job, to destroy the anointed ones. You're all anointed. Everyone that is listening right now around the world is anointed. You're the light. You were born as light into the world. You just have to believe it. And there are dark forces ready to rip your heart out. If your heart hasn't been ripped out already, they're going to rip it out. Now, the beauty is, when you come into the kingdom, when you're ordained and recognized, baptized, recognized, and ordained, when you come into the kingdom of God, your whole household is saved. I don't have to worry about my children. I don't have to worry about, because the devil can't touch them because of me. But how many people out there are ordained and their families are protected? None! Not many. Not many. Not many. All are called, but few are chosen. There aren't many. But I want to make an end to that. I'm here to make an end. I'm here to stop it. I'm here to break the generational curses. You know, a lot of your pain and suffering could be caused by generations. Generations after generations after generations after generations. How many generations? Your affliction could be coming from five generations. You don't know that. Right away, you think it's something that you did. It ain't nothing that you did. It's curses, generational curses. I know everything about it. You're cursed by generations. You're cursed. And I want to break those curses, because you know what? You're an innocent light. You're an innocent light that was born into the world. Why God? This is why God. You're never ever going to mount to anything, because there's a hit on you, because you have a generational curse on you. And until you repent and until you get your life right, until you turn from your wicked ways, you will be cursed. Oh, but I've been a Christian for so many years. Oh, I've been in church for so many years. Oh, I loved God all my life. You didn't love God, the real God, the truth God, because if you did, you wouldn't be cursed. You're deceived. You know how many people are out in the church right now that are deceived? The Bible says, this book says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And then what was the response of the people? But Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. I healed the sick and I prayed for this and I saved the poor and I did all that. And I sat in the pews and I went to the church and I listened to the messages and then I went home and I played in my wickedness. But I couldn't control myself because I keep doing the things that I don't want to do and I don't know why. And it's because of sin that dwells in you. It's not sin that you did something wrong. It's a curse. It's a curse. My children suffer and are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. You're cursed. And you always will be cursed until you break. You know, pride is one of the biggest curses in the world. Pride has been around since the fall. And that's the father of lies. That's the one that he uses the most. That's like the strong man in the group. And pride is so wicked and evil and strong. And God resists the proud. He gives them over because of the debased pride mind. He gives them over. He doesn't even want to save those that are prideful. They're debased. Read it. It's all over the place. And I know the cursed ones. And if I'm not in their face, I don't think they're ever... Because how did anybody ever try to tell a pride person anything? Do they listen? And they don't listen. Oh, no. It's very hard to get through a pride person. It's very hard to get through that thick head of theirs. It's very hard to break through that wall. And if you can spiritually see what I'm seeing, there's a fortress of iron wall. And run to it, try to break it. Boom! 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 Sometimes you can't break through. And this is all spiritual talking. It is spiritual thing. They might be the most frailest person. Real meek and kind. Or they could be a barley-looking guy, you know? And real humble, like they'll save the world, you know, kind of guy. That they come off like their intentions are really good. But there's pride. And that pride is just destroying you. So the outwardness and the outward appearance and the outward conduct is only fooling everyone else. It's not fooling those who know in the spirit. It's not fooling those. Now I'm here to share with everyone what is destroying our lives. And if we can just turn around and change the way we're thinking, and that's what the word repentance means. It doesn't mean, I'm sorry, I was in pornographic last night, please forgive me. No, it has nothing to do about that. It has nothing to do about you going to the bar or whatever it is, or taking pills or whatever, or cursing, or having a little hatred over here, or whatever, or if you just slaughtered your dog. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the condition of the heart. Pride is the biggest one. Pride is what is the destroyer. And that's been going on in generations. How many people in their family have pride? Think about it. I got grandfathers that are prideful. I hear it all the time, you know, telling me their little war stories and all this other stuff, going back telling me about all this stuff. You know, has anyone ever sit with somebody from your old generation and you listen to the old past? When you hear the past and it never stops, identify it as pride. There is no yesterday. There is no yesterday in pride. Yesterday is gone. When someone tells me about like what it was when they were 20 years ago or 15 years, 100 years ago, whatever. When I hear that, I'm like, God, would you just put that pride to bed? What do you pride? And it could be bad things too. Oh, I remember when I was a junkie back in the day, you know. I use my as a testimony. Because somebody has to hear out there that they could take someone like me and change their life. But I don't talk about it just to talk about it. It's pride. It's a spirit that is just going to kill you. Let me share something else. Luke chapter 8, verse 12. There's just this one verse here. Jesus gave a parable about the word and sowing seed and how, you know, the seed fell on the heart. And there's this one verse. It says, in verse 11, it says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God." Verse 12, it says, "Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved." At least they should believe and be saved. This is where we're at right now. Those that are here and those that are listening around the world, the word has been sown. Are you prideful? Are you out there saying, "Oh, you know, this is all hokey pokey, you know, this ain't true. You can say all you want, da, 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 da. It ain't my generation. How could I be having my grandpop's generational diseases? How could I have my great-great-great-great-grandmom going back 10 years? She's been dead so long ago. How could I possibly have that disease?" Anybody ever hear of inherited issues? That's a, what do you call that, medical terminology to try to ease your mind because the doctors don't want to say, "Well, you got a generational curse." So they say, "Oh, you got a generational disease. It runs in your family, your bloodline." I'm sorry, it doesn't happen. Doesn't happen that way. Because every generational curse, every generational disease that was in my life has been broken. I don't have those issues. I don't have those problems. I don't have them. Matter of fact, my father has an issue in his ankles and his legs and his veins. And I seen it. His grandfather had it. And the other one had it. And now my brother has it because they're all receiving the lie. And you know what? I went to go visit them and I started receiving that stupid lie. And next thing you know, I watched my feet swell up. And I remember, girls? And I'm like, "Oh my God, look at my feet." And my girls were there and they're like, "Ah, Dad, what's going on?" I said, "I don't know, my feet are swelling up." And then I realized, "Oh, I'm receiving some stupid lie." I start casting it out. "That lie, no." I'm fighting that lie. And I say, "You know what? My feet aren't swollen." And you know, when I left, my feet went back to normal. Haven't they? Every once in a while, the lie tries to come, you know, and attack it. And say, "I'm not going there." And then next thing you know, my feet go back to normal. It's real. It's real. And they're looking to kind of kill you because you're the light. Remember that you're the light. You're the light. And you're a threat to darkness. And the darkness doesn't want you to go. The darkness doesn't want you to be effective. The darkness wants to steal your heart and take out your hope. And the more they rip out your hope, the more prideful you get. Listen to me. It's your way of shielding yourself. You don't want the world, the pride inside of you doesn't want the world to see you dying. So you get more prideful. It's a sick, sick evolution, an evolving thing. And it empowers pride more and more and more and more and more and more and more. The best thing to do is to be honest. This is how you defeat the curse. You be honest. You say, I'm sick. You say, I need some help. You say that my life is not right. You say in your heart, you pull a friend aside and say, I need some help. I'm depressed. I need some help. There's something inside of me that is stealing my joy. There's something inside of me that is taking my peace away. There's something that's making me feel bad. If we begin to start confessing, listen, that confessing starts with yourself. God is faithful to come and heal you. But you got pride saying that there's nothing wrong. You got pride so afraid of letting someone see you that you're in a condition that is not suitable in the world's eyes. There's nothing wrong about you feeling sick. There's nothing wrong about you feeling depressed. There's nothing wrong about you feeling that your joy and your peace is missing. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong that you feel hopeless. There's nothing wrong. What's wrong is saying that nothing's wrong. That's what's wrong. And it doesn't matter the level of peace. It doesn't matter. You don't have to wait until your whole entire life is down in the bottom of the ocean to say something. Then it can go the opposite way. You ever hear those people that are so prideful about being in hopeless state? Well, there's people in special meetings that they'll never leave because they're so prideful in their special Alcohol Anonymous meetings or whatever meetings that they're in. They're so prideful. I was once an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic and I'm always an alcoholic. And, you know, they went to a whole nother level. They just can't shut up about their depression. They can't just shut up about their sickness. They can't shut up about it. There's a medium. There's a broken, contrite heart. There's a place where we need to be. Yesterday's gone. That's how you know. That's how I know when I can see somebody on the right road. I don't hear the past anymore. I don't hear it. I hear hope. I hear a future. I want us to bow our heads for a moment. I want us to be able to find God. Why God? Why God? I'm telling you why God. Because there's a force of darkness that took on an identity and we just say, well, that's just the way it is. That's who I am. That's just, you know, I got a bad hand dealt with me. You know, I just got to, you know, work my hand out and deal with it. You know, my father had it. My grandfather had it. My grandmom had it. You know, it's just a generational thing. It's just the way it is. I was born this way. It's just the way it is. They're all lies. Why God? Why? Because he has the power to break those lies. Let God come in and break those lies. Let God's power come and wash you away all the lies. He's the only one that can wash the lies away. Only God. And God hears a broken, contrite heart. Do away with pride. Humble yourself. Come before him. Humble yourself. Be honest with yourself. You don't have to confess to me. Listen, there are some religious groups that understood this truth and they get you to confess to them. I don't want you to confess to me. I don't want to hear about your darkness. I don't want to hear it. It just builds up your more pride. I don't want to hear it. But I want you to open up your heart and say it to God. I want God to hear your heart. I want God to be able to hear your brokenness. I want God to be able to deliver you and set you free. I am not your deliverer. He is. Confess to him. Say, God, this is what I've been doing. This is what he sees it anyhow. He just wants us to be humble and broken and come to him. He just wants us to come to him. And if you're here today, let me be that funnel from heaven. Let God work through me into you. Let me lay hands on you and deliver you. If you're here today and you have some battles that you're dealing with, you have generational curses that you are aware of, if there's things in your life that those lies have been attacking you, I want you to come up here. By you coming up here is showing humility. By you coming up here is saying, God, you know, I confessed in my heart, and now I'm taking it to the next level. I'm going to reveal myself that I was one who needed this. Amen. If this is you, come. Come. Let God break these generational curses. Let God work. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. He wants to deliver you because he brought this message. He wants to set you free. If you're listening, connect over the airwaves, over the website. Those that are listening, hear what is being said so that curse can be broken in your life. And you don't have to live this way. You don't have to live in your bondage. Your whole circumstances will change. Everything will be broken. I see your life, Dennis. It's a whole different life. What I see is not what you see. But those curses, those lies have been trying to attack you in your heart. I respect your heart. Your heart is moving forward. But there are alternate spirits that come in and try to alter things, try to alter the